This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Pat Bostic going to be joining us soon. He is our quarterback whisperer, our quarterback insider, our great friend. We love Thursdays with Pat. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So we will save the quarterback talk just a couple of moments. Ben Roethlisberger's comments on his podcast about Will Howard. What do we see in Mr. Howard? But I keep getting spam emails, Doran. In our company email, from the same series of like six publicists saying you should have this person on or that person on, we just get blasted with these emails. Mm-hmm. And never once have I gone, oh yeah, I need that guest on the show. We got to talk to this person. And here's what we got today. Doran, not sure you're aware of this. It's National Salad Month. You can elevate your greens with nuts, seeds, and dry fruit. And you can talk to some food person about this.
Huh.
What do you think, 9:15 today? Get the foodie on?
Yeah, we could use a little diet.
Talk about salad?
Yeah.
First thing that happened today, I walked in with my beard shaved, and you said I could see your jowls. What the hell's wrong with you?
I didn't say that.
Why would you do
that
to
me? Why would you lie?
Why would you take me out
like that? Why would
you
tell a fib like that on air?
A fib?
Yeah, you're fibbing.
A little white lie.
Yes.
It's one of the Ten Commandments. I would never lie.
You say a little white guy or a little white lie?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't say that. I said that you shaved your face, and you're like, oh, my wife didn't even know that. You're the first person to say it.
I saw my mom yesterday, my dad yesterday, my two girls, my wife. My wife nuzzled up against me. She didn't say anything. You walked in here, or I did. I forget the order of operations today. But the second our eyes locked, you shaved.
Yep.
No, I appreciate you noticing.
Didn't say nothing about no jowls.
So seriously, 9:35 for the salad guy?
Yeah.
I love a salad, but I have to be in the mood for a salad. I know people who eat salads every day. I can't do it. What am I, a friggin' rabbit?
I have to have chicken. I have to have some meat on the
Gotta
salad.
Got to be meat on the salad.
Yeah, I can't just have it. I could do a regular Caesar.
I don't like the Caesar because I got the fish in there.
You don't have to have the fish.
Oh.
You know, you could say no to anchovies.
What do you think about the Cobb? You a Cobb salad guy?
No.
You don't like to attack a salad with a fork and a knife?
No. No Cobb. Mm-mm. Steak salad, chicken salad, Cajun chicken salad.
Oof. Ooh. Yep. Blackened.
Blackened chicken salad.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
My wife says she makes a great salad, and I got to be honest. She does a great job with the salads. But an at-home salad, if I've had one salad, I've had a million salads. You ain't moving me.
It's
a great salad from a restaurant, okay, fine. But I also don't go to a restaurant to get salad.
No.
You get the side salad. Love a good side salad. Some croutons?
Yes.
That's what we called ourselves when we rode in high school, is the croutons.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because we did crew.
Tons. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I like croutons. I like the Parmesan cheese. Like you go to an Olive Garden, they say when.
Mm-hmm.
There's never enough cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take all the cheese. But then I think that invalidates the salad. I also once had a friend, yes, we're doing salad talk right now, who said if there's no dressing on the salad, it's not a salad. I vehemently disagree. I think if you have vegetables in a bowl, it's a salad.
Hmm. You like tossing salad?
Big salad tosser.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a buffalo chicken salad.
That's good.
But then I feel like I'm not even eating healthy at that point.
Right.
It's all doused in ranch.
Well, I mean, any Pittsburgh salad, if you're getting it, it's not healthy because it has fries on it.
Yeah.
It is amazing, though, and I know this is like cliche, but it is amazing, you know, to say that we put fries on salads to people that aren't from Pittsburgh or never been to Pittsburgh, and they just look at me like I'm an alien.
Well, with all due respect to all of our listeners right now, and I absolutely fit within this category, all you need to do is walk around Pittsburgh, and you're not going to be surprised that people are putting the fries on the salad.
That's true.
Like, you walk out to Denver, they're all fit. Everyone's healthy and happy, and they see the sun 300 days a year. Here, it's like, what do you guys do for fun? Oh, we put fries on our salad, sometimes on our sandwiches, and we have our sports teams generally that we pour our heart and soul into.
Yeah. And we take rides on the Gateway Clipper.
And sometimes the Incline.
In the Incline, yes. Have you ever been to Kennywood?
Did you know that Kennywood, actually, I'm happy to bring this up, the Phantom's Revenge was recently voted, and by recently I mean yesterday, the number one roller coaster in the entire country.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's not the number one.
I'm just conveying the vote.
I mean, out of, like, you know, Cedar Point, Millennium, like, get out of here.
I could sit here and say...
Where'd you read this at? The Pittsburgh Magazine or whatever?
I have it right here. Yeah.
This isn't some national thing.
It's a national thing!
In what magazine?
I'm on it.
Or what article? Was it from Pittsburgh? Was it a Pittsburgh article?
I mean, I did find it on KDKA.com. Yeah. Hold up now. Mm-hmm. I could argue whether you're a top 40 under 40, but you're on the list. So I have to say it factually, you're on the list. I actually think you should have been top 10 under 40, but that's just me. This isn't USA Today's 10 best list of roller coasters, Dorn. This is an unimpeachable list.
Yeah, the person that put the list together is from Pittsburgh, probably.
We'll know just by the name.
Yeah.
Here we go. That was a poll. They did a poll.
Mm.
Our editors and readers independently select what you see on USA Today 10 best.
Okay. Like, that many people have been to Kennywood? Give me a break.
The AP voters always get it right, Dorn. I never hear you bitching about the AP voters. Why would you bitch about the USA Today 10 best?
I just don't believe it, man.
Busch Gardens in Tampa, their roller coaster, 7th. Chew on that. The Mako at SeaWorld Orlando. You got nothing on the Phantom's Revenge. The Steel Vengeance at Cedar Point, number 3.
The Phantom's Revenge wasn't even better than the Steel Phantom. That's the thing.
I would agree with that.
That's the issue.
There's no loop-de-loops in the Phantom's Revenge.
Right.
Number 2, Phoenix at Nobles in Ellisburg, Pennsylvania. Oh boy, I am starting to see a theme here. You might be right about this. Phantom's Revenge at Kennywood. Number 1, the 3,365-foot-long track of the Phantom's Revenge at Kennywood brings visitors frighteningly close to another of the park's coasters, the Thunderbolt. A hair-raising highlight is the ride's second drop, a 232-foot thriller at 85 miles per hour.
It is good. I don't know if it's the best.
I can't say that I've ever been on it.
What?
Yeah.
You're out. Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
I was on the Steel Phantom. I'm not a roller coaster guy. In my youth, I was a daredevil. But as I've grown, I like to keep my feet firmly placed on the ground. I don't even like flying on planes.
Never been on the Phantom's Revenge? Oh, my goodness.
No. I go to Kennywood to eat the fries, to bring this whole thing full circle, a potato patch. And I'll go on the kiddie rides with my daughter, and I'll people watch. Also, and this might be a bad idea, frankly, they serve beer now. So you can walk around Kennywood, you can people watch, you can eat fries, some funnel cake, hang out with the fam, and your feet can be on the ground the entire time. Get your steps in, too. It's great.
Pat, have you ever been on the Phantom's Revenge at Kennywood?
I've never been to Kennywood. I've never been.
What's going on?
One, two. There we go. I've never been to Kennywood.
That's okay, though, because you're not from here.
I grew up near Hershey Park, man.
Right.
Like, you have been here
18 years.
For 18 years.
Yeah, I'd rather go to Hershey Park. I'd rather, like, drive the 3-4 hours.
You can't possibly say that, though, without knowing what Kennywood has in store. And what it's got in store for you, Matthew Bostic, is the number one roller coaster in the entirety of this great country we live in.
Yeah, you shaved your face.
And you have chapped lips, it appears.
I do. Anything else you want to say?
Toss
number
it,
one roller
tossing salad.
Number one roller coaster in the United States.
That's what it says on the USA Today. We have the number one roller coaster in the United States, and I'm happy to hear that because our sports teams are poo, but we have our roller coaster. I don't know that anybody ever gets off that roller coaster and goes, damn it, that was the best roller coaster ride I've ever gone on.
No. No.
That was shocking to me, but I'm happy for us. They should put a banner up. They totally will, right?
Yeah, they probably will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You put a big-ass banner, fly it high, right off the top of the thing you can. Yeah, you lost me a 232-foot drop, though. I'm just totally out on that.
That doesn't surprise me that you're risk averse.
It's not a straight drop though. It's like you're dipping.
I don't like how it makes my tummy feel.
It's not the Tower of Terror.
Oh my God. The pitfall, that's gone, right?
I did that.
You didn't?
Yes, I did.
Oh, the Tower of Terror. Yeah. I was going to say the pitfall you didn't because you.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
No.
I'm good on that.
I don't need to fall seemingly in my head to my death. Like, I don't need that in my life.
You, according to yourself, you're going to die every day.
That's right.
You just don't want to expedite it?
Correct.
You want it to have it unbeknownst to you?
Yeah, it's going to be through nicotine consumption and my cholesterol levels being high.
Fries on salads, doused in ranch.
Correct. That's how that's going to go, I hope.
Do you like fries on salads? Sorry.
Waffle fries.
Oh.
Like a Chick-fil-A.
Correct.
That's the only kind of fries my daughter will eat. She'll learn yet. She's young. All right, let's talk quarterback when we come back. Ben Roethlisberger was asked on his podcast about Will Howard. He's got some strong takes about the newest Pittsburgh Steelers signal caller. We'll get our signal caller, Pat Bostic's thoughts on it when we come back. But
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There's no pressure. He needs to understand, and I would tell him this. You don't have pressure, bud. You are the sixth rounder. There's no pressure. He should go into this thing with like, I can play free.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I have no pressure. Now, I absolutely think he should come in here with the mindset of, this is my job. Sure. I want to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers for the next 15, 18, 20 years. That should be his mentality. I hope, and I would tell him to do it the right way. Sure. Do it like Charlie Batch did, like Bruce Gretkowski, like Byron Leftwich, like Landry, some of those guys that came in that were like, listen, what can I do, Ben? How can I help you? How can I prepare you to be the starter, be ready to play? I'm going to go now, do my thing and get myself prepared, study, work. You need anything? Okay, I'm back to that. That's the proper way. Sure. It'll naturally unfold itself. If you're out here preparing yourself and you're not trying to undermine the starter, cut his legs out and this, that, and the other, but you just naturally are doing things right and the team's seeing you work and the team's seeing you build up the starter to helping the team win, and all of a sudden you're performing a little better in practice, and it's like, okay, now go ahead and get your shot with the ones, and it's good, and you're being a good teammate, and you're still high-fiving the other quarterback, and then all of a sudden it's like, get another series with the ones. Just let it happen.
Doran, you just mouthed something to me. We've worked together long enough. We're good enough friends. Now we have this mental meld. You mouthed, did he say Mason Rudolph? No.
No.
Did not get a mention there.
Huh.
Big Ben on Will Howard giving him advice. I was talking to a Steelers beat writer yesterday. And this writer, they'll post a different article about every player in the draft. Pretty standard operating procedure. He said the one that got read the most, the one that got clicked on the most, wasn't Derek Harmon, wasn't Caleb Johnson, wasn't anybody other than Will Howard. That is the one that got clicked on the most. Why? Quarterback. And we all look at this guy, and he's got the size, and he's got the arm strength, and he was layering throws, and He won a national championship, and he'll run your ass over. He is a sixth-round pick. I'm wondering if Steelers fans have quickly already put too much on this guy, on Will Howard, as like a potential quarterback of the future. I think it's way more likely than not he's a long-term backup. I'm not going to rule out that he could eventually be the starter, but I don't think they drafted him with that in mind, being the guy.
No, I don't think they did, but it's kind of hard not to put a lot of pressure on Will Howard. You don't really have a quarterback. Your quarterback right now is Mason Rudolph. The guy just won a national championship, played at Ohio State, showed a lot of flashes of being a really good quarterback in college, and you get him in the sixth round. It's basically a steal in a lot of people's eyes, and you could kind of envision a young maybe Ben Roethlisberger by his attributes. So it's kind of hard not to put, you know, two and two together, if you will, to say that Will Howard could be potentially a starter for the Steelers at some point. I could see where people are coming from. I could see it.
Yeah, I think there's an intrigue with the comparison. I think people love the fire, the competitiveness. They loved his reaction. There's a lot to like about him and project. I think if Aaron Rodgers had signed here already, the pressure would be less. I don't think it's an imminent pressure, though. Like, I think it's the projectability and the long-term potential that has people intrigued. And I would agree with that. I mean, you can't coach 6'4", 235 and run in a 4'6", 4'7", whatever he runs. Like, he's got those things. And he has, right, the leadership qualities that you saw on the sideline, you saw with his interviews, you saw with the Gruden stuff, where he's got a chip on his shoulder, which I really like. People, you know, they overlooked him. I don't know why. Perhaps he was a little raw in high school. I don't know what it was. I know he's from the eastern side of the state, didn't have any offers from anyone in Pennsylvania or Ohio, for that matter. Goes to Kansas State, does his thing, and has a career year with Ohio State and wins a national championship. I mean, there's a lot to like about that. He's won. He's won at different places. And the physical attributes are legitimate. So it'll be interesting. And I agree with Ben. I think there's just a patience involved with the fans are fine, but his patience needs to be there, because his opportunity is going to come, and it's probably not going to be this year. I mean, whether it's Mason or Aaron, it's probably not going to be this year, and it probably shouldn't be this year unless he just lights the world on fire. So time will tell.
If there is no Aaron Rodgers and it's Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson, and then a camp body, they're not going to give Will Howard a chance to start right away, but they should give him a chance to prove himself. Give him a ton of snaps.
Yeah.
Let him play a bunch in the preseason.
Yes.
And then honestly, if it were me, I'd let him be the guy if there's no Rodgers, just to find out.
Immediately?
If he is clearly better than Mason, and he wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be able to get enough of Mason live, which you don't really need to, and that's why you would give Will Howard the
right
to say that Will Howard would be better than Mason.
Yeah, I don't.
You know,
I think the preseason, he'll get a lot of reps regardless if Aaron's here or not. He's going to get a lot of opportunity because Aaron won't play in all but a series.
I wouldn't even play Aaron.
Probably won't.
Yeah.
And you can't play Mason that much. I mean, he's a you know what you have in him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just too much. There's too much assumed right now about who the quarterback's going to be for him to come in and unseat anybody. I think where the rubber will meet the road, proverbially, is if they aren't very good, and which means the quarterback's not getting protected well, they're not running the ball well, and then you're going to be in the same situation you were in 2022, which is, do you play this kid or do you sit on it and wait for a better environment,
because you don't want to screw him up
around him, because you're going to go through murderer's row in the AFC North, and the psyche and demeanor and confidence of a young quarterback is it. You can say all you want about you have to be Teflon and all this stuff. Like, you're a rookie quarterback of the NFL realizing your dream. You go out there and play, and what happens to you is going to affect you whether you put on or not. And if you throw a guy out there in a bad situation, it can ruin him, and it's happened to many quarterbacks. I don't know what's going to happen in Chicago with Caleb Williams. I have no idea.
David Carr is always the one that I think about.
Yep. David Carr, I mean, and I think the Steelers have scar tissue from the Kenny situation. Not saying that Will Howard couldn't go in there and thrive and fix things, but I think they're going to be hesitant to play him, and I would be too. And I think they're going to have more reason to not play him than that. But if it gets to a situation where things are bad, and then you know how this town will work, there'll be Howard chants going throughout Akershire Stadium.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it'll get interesting. I hope patience prevails, honestly, and we get a chance to see him next year and beyond.
Texter, the draft is now over. Good free agents have been scooped up. We are in the deadliest period of the NFL. Why is it still Steelers all the time? Two reasons. One, it rates. Number two, we just spent 15 minutes on Kennywood and tossing salads. We got something for everybody here.
Yeah.
Full first hours on the Pirates and the Penguins. Texter, who's better right now, Will Howard or Drew Aller? All right, we will get to Drew Aller at some point. We will get to the tumbling Shedeur Sanders. We will get to the prank phone call. There's a bunch to go over with Pat. It's also 1 week after day one of the draft. So that's why we talk about these guys.
And it's a football town.
Yes.
Yeah, like, let's not be mistaken here.
Football is king, period.
You can even throw an exclamation point on it.
Always has been. Always will be.
Always will be.
Football town with the drinking problem. Isn't that what they say? Or a drinking town with a football problem?
No doubt.
Whatever it is?
No doubt.
People have t-shirts made up of it. We start talking about Will Howard. I get a dozen texts. He's the next Big Ben. And I get one. Why are you talking about this? Because there's a dozen people who felt the need to text in saying they think this guy can save the franchise. All right. Jerry Dulac went on a national radio program, and he set Twitter ablaze. Why? We'll tell you. Who did it have to do with? And we need to give Pat Bostic some advice. Actually, I don't know that we can give Pat Bostic advice. We will solicit your help, dear listener. Please help Pat Bostic out of a situation he never thought he would be in.
I can't tell you where he was in a pecking order, Rich, but I will tell you, despite what all the national people thought, they did not intend to draft him. You know, if he was there on the sixth round and maybe, but, you know, the people that had him going to the Steelers and had him going at 21, that just wasn't going to happen. No quarterback was going at 21. That includes Jackson Dart, who they did have a first round grade on. But I don't think he factored in, and you could see how many times they passed on him. If they were going to take him, they would have tried to take him in the fourth round. Well, but it wasn't high on their list.
Jerry Dulac with Rich Eisen. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Rich Eisen, a legend on the NFL Network, formerly of ESPN. So the Steelers didn't have any intentions of drafting Shedeur Sanders, and Jerry seemed aghast that the national media even would have suggested that. I mean, the head coach came out and waxed poetic about it. The head coach comes out talking about him the way he's never talked about a draft prospect before, and Dulac actually tweeted that he had never heard Tomlin talk about a draft prospect like that before. Tomlin had me going. I mean, we had talked about the possibility of it being a smokescreen. The bigger noteworthy piece there might have been that the Steelers had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart.
That seemed like to be the guy of the...
Yeah.
That they said that they have one grade, clearly. And we talked about, what, Thursday? Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
That was the guy.
Jackson Dart was the guy that they thought could be a franchise quarterback. It begs the question, then, why didn't they take him?
Right.
If they really... I don't buy that they had a first-round grade on him now. Now I'll go back on it. If they had a first... If you have a first-round grade on a quarterback and you have a first-round grade on a defensive lineman and you don't have a quarterback, you take the quarterback.
Well, you could have a first-round grade. Say Harmon, your guy that you absolutely want, isn't there. You could trade back and get him at 25. And still, like, they could have did that. That might have been their plan B. Like, oh, we're all sold on Harmon. We want Harmon. If he's not there, we're going to trade back, and then we'll draft a quarterback, and that's Jackson Dart
at
25.
That makes sense. I mean, having a first-round grade on someone doesn't necessarily mean that they're the number one player on your board.
Right.
Either.
Sure. Of course.
Mason.
So, like, they had – I would have ventured to say they had clearly more than 21 players ahead of him, but not maybe 10 players.
Realistic options,
of which he was one. And, yeah, first-round grade, but if he's – and that first-round grade might be fringe, right? It might be not top 10. If they have a guy next year that they are dead set on and they have a good season, they will trade up to get him.
That's what this clearly points to, yeah.
That is Like, I think right now what the Steelers have, this isn't, I don't think this is because of the Kenny situation. I think that feeds into it, though. I think they want to be 1,000% sure, and they will throw everything they can at getting the next franchise quarterback. And that means this is probably a top 10 player in the draft. Maybe fringe top five. And they would have to have a historically bad season to be in the top five next year.
They got a lot of picks, though.
They got a lot of picks. They got a lot of capital to work with. And I'd be shocked at this point if they're not picking in the top 10 next year.
We just saw now, it has been leaked, that they will have a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round comp pick next year. So they'll be doubling up. That's a lot of extra that's a lot of extra goods. And listen, if they've got the guy in mind, and let's say they're picking between 18th and 21st, because they're always picking between 18th and 21st, you'd have to move up 11 spots or 8 spots-ish to get into the top 10. You could part with the following year's first-round pick. I mean, if that's the guy, I agree with you. They will make a top 10 pick next year.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be because of results. I think it'll be because of utilizing the capital they have to move up, because I think they'll be picking, based on results, somewhere in the back half of the first round, depending on if Rodgers comes, how it goes. But they will move up into the top 10.
Do you think that they take into effect that the draft is here and they want to make a splash because it's here at all?
I think that's a convenient sidebar.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
But I just think that everybody, and again, I've tweeted about it. I've talked about it. I'm not 100% sure that this next draft class is a best of the last decade draft class, like everyone else is saying at quarterback. I mean, your presumptive number one pick couldn't beat out a seventh round pick at Texas. And I'm sure there was more there than that. I'm talking about Arch Manning, who's played 95 snaps in his career.
They were a great 95, buddy.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen a 95 snap played running, like right? him.
And he may be a Hall of Famer. He may be a Hall of Famer. I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying that's the situation. But I do think that they're going into next year's draft class, and I think this is a fair mindset, thinking that it is a better class overall at quarterback.
Sure.
And I would say I would probably bet on that if I could bet on it. I would bet on it being a better draft class when it materializes, but sitting here right now, it's not a sure bet.
Are the Steelers going to rue the day? Are all the rest of the teams in the NFL, apart from the Browns, going to rue the day they didn't get Shedeur Sanders? Like, do we think this guy's going to have a good career? I thought in the right landing spot, he could have a hell of a career. I'm not so sure he found a good one.
I do not. I do not think he'll have a good career. Unless this is a big slice of humble pie and he actually decides to eat it. Because all we're hearing about, and what I heard prior to the draft and we talked about, was that he was very casual in his approach to the process. And arrogant at times, dismissive at times. His father talked about teams he will not go to. I think that's part of the reason Steelers fans love Will Howard. He begged the Steelers to take
him.
Whereas you've got Prime saying, I will not allow my son to play somewhere. He has mediocre talent when it comes to arm strength, mobility, size, all the measurables. He's incredibly accurate. And he's shown to have good presence. In my opinion, this is my opinion as a former player, if you have mediocre talent, mediocre measurables, you better be damn focused, work your you-know-what off, and you better be a student of the game. And you better know who you are. And he ran around and made plays out of his you-know-what in college. You're not doing that in the NFL, man. You run a 4.7, 4.8. Maybe. Like, you're not as good as you think you are. And you compare him to Tom Brady. Mel Kiper's like, Tom Brady went to seventh round. The NFL doesn't know what they're talking about. You know what Tom Brady did? He was smarter than everybody else, including the coaches. He knew more about the defense than anybody. I don't see Shedeur doing that. His approach to the draft process doesn't indicate that he's a guy that's committed to doing the work and committed to putting in the hours in the film room from a focus standpoint, to be as cerebral as he needs to be to overcome some of his physical setbacks, some of his physical limitations. That's where I'm at on it. Until he does that, I can't say he's going to have a good career.
Yeah, I know it's not going to be in Cleveland. I mean, I just know that. I know he's not going to have his career take off if it does in Cleveland. Like, I think that people, you know, they have a packed quarterback room, but you got a couple other guys that have chips on their shoulders in that room as well. So I know that guys love to compete at that level. Shedeur Sanders probably loves to compete. He probably competed every single day with his dad being Deion. But Kenny Pickett has a chip on his shoulder. And Shador's going to have to compete. And they're not going to just give Shador the football and be like, all right, here you go, Shador. You got the ones today. Like, no, it's going to be a lot harder and a lot more challenging than getting a prank call, than dropping in the draft. Him, whenever he takes foot in Cleveland, the first day in OTAs, the first day in rookie minicamp, that's when it's going to get tough for him. This is easy. All this stuff that he went through, this is the easy part. Now you got to go play. And don't throw a pick. Don't throw a pick. In preseason, don't throw a pick. In OTAs, don't throw a pick. If you get a chance in the regular season, don't fumble the football, because all eyes are on you, man. It gets way harder now than it ever has been in his life. And, I mean, maybe he's up for the challenge. I'm sure he is up for the challenge, but can he handle that challenge? That's going to be very tough.
You heard what Ben said about Will Howard. Blend in. Do your job. Don't be a distraction. I am not saying, I do not know if Shedeur Sanders is a good teammate or a bad teammate. By all accounts, it seems like his teammates loved him in Colorado. But that environment, that team environment, is incredibly different than any other place in the country right now. So to say he's a good teammate in Colorado doesn't necessarily mean you could plug and play him anywhere else. He's only ever played for his dad in college. So more than don't throw a pick, more than, you know, play well, more than take advantage of your opportunities, be a good teammate. Blend in. Assimilate. Show you're one of the guys. And that's why the farther he dropped in the draft, the more of a distraction he was going to become.
He has the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now.
And Cleveland is the perfect hot mess to go to for that. However, he's going to have, and people will say what they want, Deshaun's not even a factor.
No.
Flacco's, you know, 45, whatever he is, mature, seen it all. Kenny's been through the ringer and is eager for an opportunity to play, focused. They ain't dealing with that. They're not going to give him the time of day. And how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to deal with that? Are you going to go on social media and spout off, or are you going to just work? And that'll be the tell-all. Like, why is he on the negotiation list for the Toronto, for a CFL team? Why? Some team going to pay him $15 million to go play there for a year and then come and be Warren Moon? Go play in the CFL and play? I mean, he could do that.
There has never been a fifth-round draft pick that's gotten this much attention during the draft and in the immediate aftermath.
The cards are stacked against him.
That's right.
If he overcomes it, I will tip my hat.
Yep.
Same. And he will have accomplished something almost as significant as what Tom Brady did.
I do not root for the Cleveland Browns. I am rooting for Shedeur Sanders. I think had he been drafted in the top two rounds, he could have been a really good quarterback. It's a mountain of evidence that would suggest that guys drafted at this spot do not succeed, and they haven't had to deal with half of what this guy's going to have to deal with the pressure.
It'll be a lot.
So it's going to look like this guy was never destined to succeed. I don't believe that. I don't think, though, that he will succeed. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. One of the biggest voices on the Steelers talking about how they view the 26th draft. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We need you, though, the listener, to help Pat Bostic coming up next. Text us your help when we tell you exactly what's going on with our guy. All right, at the top of the hour, a big Steelers voice telling you exactly how the team feels about the 26th draft. We'll also give Pat Bostic some advice. I've already seen the "it's gonna be May" meme like 150 times today.
You do that again.
It's gonna be May.
Very good. Nice, good. Nice vibrato.
Thank you. People you have said that I look like an ugly Justin Timberlake.
You truly are a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Coxon. Thespian.
Radio extraordinaire.
Singer, songwriter.
Not listed, though, athlete. Never to be confused with an athlete. Except when I'm throwing out first pitches. I'm outstanding.
That was
at
a dart.
A dart! A Jackson dart. How about that? 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Antonio Brown, we have argued for a long time, has not been running his own Twitter account because the things coming out of it are offensive to many, but also uproariously funny. I would urge everybody to go look at what AB is spouting on Twitter now, and I will tell you that I believe he has now regained control of his Twitter account.
Yes, he has.
He is saying things about Ben Roethlisberger's sister.
Yes.
He is taking out Julio Jones.
Yes.
He's taking out Zay Flowers.
Tom Brady's wife.
Yeah. Giselle.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of people that helped him get where he got are now getting got by him.
Yeah.
I understand the Julio Jones thing. That was the talk for the long time. Who's better, Julio Jones or Antonio Brown? So go after him. That's fine.
I mean, did you see what he said, though?
Well, don't go after him that way.
Right. I understand Julio Jones thing. I was like, you know something?
Look, there's great comedy in this, and so I would love to be able to read these tweets on the air. You can't even get them to a place where they're remotely close to FCC compliant. So if you are curious, and I'm sure now you are, go on Twitter and just type in Antonio Brown. You'll find out what we're talking about. I don't know what Ben did to deserve this kind of shade. Nothing. Ben did nothing.
He was just sitting at home drinking a Bush Light, and all of a sudden Antonio's talking about his sister.
He's
kind of messed up.
I think every time he's talked about Antonio, it's been about how good of a player he
was.
Crazy.
The dude has lost his mind.
Which is why I want to make very clear the things that are being alleged by Antonio Brown, I am putting no stock into. I just want to make clear of that. And I think it's ridiculous what is happening. It is also uproariously funny. I hope he's okay. That's something nobody ever says this about Antonio Brown. I worry about the man. I worry about the people in his orbit. Because he ain't right, man. He just ain't. Moving on?
Yeah.
Moving on. Not much else left to say. What a player he was, though. I wonder if he'll ever get into the Hall of Honor around here. Good enough player, burned a ton of bridges on the way out, continuing to do so. Hey, Ben, I've just been inducted into the Hall. Do you want to give my opening speech, the opening remarks? No.
Forget about that tweet. Let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, no.
Derek Carr, no. All the crackers.
Yeah.
All right, you can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.